relationship with God, going to nurture my relationship with others, to live as a foreigner in this world because I am a child of God. Okay? All right. But Peter goes on, and one of the things that Peter is really concerned about, and here's another point I want to put up, is Peter's really concerned for believers, the state of their soul and the state of their witness. This is really, really, I think, really important, because Peter doesn't just say, hey, listen, since you're a foreigner here, you can just kind of hide away, you can kind of, you know, not worry about them or anything like that. You can just build your own little fortress and your own little community and do absolutely nothing but just guard yourself from the world around you. Okay? Now, here's the last part that I want to reread again that Peter does. Peter goes, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now, this is really staggering when you look at the original context and the world in which Peter is talking about. If you know anything about the Roman Empire is trying to figure out what these Christians are, because they call Christians at that time superstitious, okay? And in fact, they accused Christians of being murderers, incest, and cannibalism, okay? Did you know that? Because Christians would talk about, well, brother and sister, okay? They would talk about eating the body and drinking the blood, okay? And they would kind of go into their private meetings and huddle together, and nobody, you know, and people are going, what are they doing? And they use this kind of terminology, okay? And one of the things that was a big concern for Rome is that whatever they're doing, is it going to upset Pax Romana, okay, which is the peace of Rome? Anything that kind of threatened the empire and the peace of Rome was just a big deal, okay? Because they did not, what was interesting is at that time you had to worship the emperor. That was part of what you did. And Christians would not worship the emperor. In fact, you know how they got away with it without actually being, executed? They would say, we worship Jesus, but we pray for the emperor. That's how the Jewish people got away with it. They said, we don't worship, we don't make the icon of the emperor, all that kind of stuff, but we will pray for the emperor, and we'll pray that God will bless him and, you know, have him govern the empire really well. That's basically how they got away with doing that. But there wasn't this acknowledgement that we worship the emperor or we worship any of the other Roman pagan gods, okay? Suetonius wrote that these believers are a class of people animated by a novel and a dangerous superstition. Tacitus wrote that believers were hated because of their vices. Okay? This was considered their vices. So there's all kinds of accusations and all that kind of stuff. Now, Peter knows all this, okay? And for some of us, we would just say, okay, if the culture's antagonistic to us, we can be antagonistic back. We could just tell them where to go, because we're people of God. And they deserve our, you know, vitriol and all this kind of stuff. They deserve our cursing them, okay? But Peter doesn't do that. Peter doesn't even say, you know what, we need to build our own army and go after the Romans. He doesn't do that. He doesn't talk about fighting back or anything at all like that. In fact, I think what he says here is really profound, because I'm not sure we would have expected this. He says, be careful to live properly. The sense in the Greek is that your lifestyle and your conduct should be good and serve as a reflection of the God you serve. You see, if you serve a Roman God, the Roman gods are capricious and very human in the way they act. They're looking for power, authority, usurping the other one, all of this kind of stuff. You worship the Roman gods in order to placate them so you could get something in return. Okay? That's not what's going on in the Christian world. It's not what's going on at all. You know? And you got to ask yourself, how did the Roman world eventually get Christianized, eventually become part of the kingdom of God? Okay? And believe it or not, what almost every scholar universally talks about is that what transformed the Roman Empire was love. Was love. Now, Peter could have easily said, like I already stated, be wrathful, go after them, all of that kind of stuff, pray curses upon them, but he doesn't. He says, live honorably among your neighbors. You see, here's the point I want to make. Rome was eventually conquered by foreigners by introducing a foreign idea. Because in that kingdom, love wasn't the operative way to live. It wasn't. Okay? So this foreign ideal, and I think it should be up, there it is, okay? That's what eventually conquered the heart of Rome and the world, were foreigners who lived by foreign ideals. Can you sit on that for a minute? Okay? If you know anything about the Roman Empire, okay, there are four characteristics I'm going to give you that was not part of the Roman Empire ideal, okay? So when we talk about love, when we talk about goodness, when we talk about what it is to live honorably, it consists of these four traits. Let me just give you the four traits. Number one is humility. Number one is humility. Can you imagine Romans having humility in that day and age? Okay? It'll be up on the screen very soon. Humility is number one. Secondly, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Third is grace. And fourth is others-oriented. We cannot be believers if these four characteristics are not part of what we say we are. Okay? Now, some of you are going to say, where's truth? You know, and that's fair. Okay? But can I challenge you? Because I've said this many, many, many times. You are never going to touch a person's heart if you can't get past their eyes and their ears. Never. Okay? If they don't like what they see, if they don't like what they hear, you're not going to touch their heart. A little humility, a little forgiveness, a little grace, a little others-oriented goes a long, long, long way. How many of you are caught in a situation right now and you'd say to yourself, if we only had a little bit of grace, if we only had a little bit of humility, how much would it change the narrative? How much would it change the situation? But I ain't going to give up first. Okay? Makes all the difference in the world. Okay? So, as believers, we are not different. We are different, I'm sorry. We are different, not as an act of defiance, not as an act of defiance, but as earthly examples of a better way, and that's the way of Jesus. Okay? You've heard us talk about a church that invites people to explore life here at Village Green. But when we talk about exploring life at Village Green, we're talking about exploring the way of Jesus. Because we believe Jesus presents to us a better way to live. A way that's hopeful, a way that's eternal, a way that is an invitation to everyone that life is better as a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, does that challenge you today? Does that challenge you to understand that? Okay? Because I am really shocked that Peter does not go down the revenge path or the retribution path or let's pray curses against them, all of that kind of stuff. He says, guess what? Live honorably in such a way that even if they do accuse you, okay, it's not going to stick. In fact, they're going to look more ridiculous for making the accusation because your life is so honorable. Okay? I think that's a really powerful statement. And secondly, it's not easy to live. It's a real challenge, isn't it? It's a real, real challenge. Okay? Now, let me close this out with a little illustration. And some of you have seen this. I posted it on my Facebook because I shared it. Someone else had posted it. But I just thought the video was just so so well done. I posted it to Facebook, but it's a little video that came up, a really short video of Simon Sinek. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't want to have a last name like Sinek. Anyway, poor guy. Personally, sorry, Simon. I love you, by the way. I think you're really good at what you do, so yeah. But he's a speaker and an author, and especially on leadership. He has some really powerful stuff on leadership, all right? And he has this short little clip about being invited to a friend's house for dinner. And she is telling him how difficult his life is, her life is. And she's going through this real struggle. And Simon says that as he's listening to her, he's getting really upset because he's saying, why didn't you call me? If you're going through all this trouble, why didn't you, let me know and all this kind of stuff. You've been there for me so many times, I would have easily been there for you. And I'm insulted. Why didn't you call me? And she says, I did. And he goes, what are you talking about? She goes, look at your phone, And she had texted him and said, can you come over? And he goes, well, that doesn't mean anything. That's what you always say when you want me to come over. How did I know you were in trouble or anything like that? And she said to him, I read recently that it only takes a person 8 minutes from a friend to communicate help and support that allows that person to get back on track. 8 minutes. And he says, so from now on, when she's in trouble, we have this little code word where she writes, have you got 8 minutes? It's a beautiful little clip. Beautiful little clip. Now, I don't know about you, but that really struck me. That really struck me. Because, we talk about building relationships, we talk about all this stuff. I don't know about you, I'm exhausted. That's a lot of work. I love you all. But I just don't have time to build all those relations. You know what I mean, right? But just imagine the difference 8 minutes makes. And an investment of 8 minutes in somebody's life, what a difference it'll make. I don't know about you, but that just radically changed my thinking. And I could just felt the anxiety going, yeah. And it just alleviated all of that. What a difference we can make to somebody else for 8 minutes. I don't know about you, and we've always heard that we just don't know what other people are going through. We just don't. And I think, even if we were to survey this room, almost every one of you are going to be able to say something to the effect of, here's where I'm really struggling in my life right now. You may not clarify it or classify it as a wilderness, but it's a struggle nonetheless. What difference would it make? if one of us would just take 8 minutes and say what you need to hear. Amen? And I really think that's at the heart of what Peter's talking about in this passage. Live your life as a demonstration that following Jesus is better than anything the Roman Empire could give us, and definitely better than anything the culture can give us today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these words of Peter. And here's a man that denied you. Here's a man that just struggled at the crucifixion. But Lord, what a transformation after the resurrection, and you had that breakfast by the sea with him and called him back to his calling to be a foundational component of the early church. And here he is, a person who you would have expected to be spiteful and have all these reactions. And yet here he is talking about our lives reflecting the person of Christ to such a degree that it actually points the world around us to a better way. And that's what it eventually did to the Roman Empire. It brought Christianity to the forefront and left all the other gods behind. And here we are today. The struggles with culture might be a little different, but you know what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we place our hearts and our walk in Jesus, there is nothing that can take that away. So, Lord, we pray that for those that are not believers, that maybe they'll reconsider what a life with Jesus would be like. And Lord, for believers here this morning who may be struggling, feeling a wilderness and a dryness that they have not experienced in a while, may their hope be renewed through their faith in you. So Lord, we commit this to the name and the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.